All right, thank you very much, James. And we are approaching our last session for today, and this session will be about performance. So our next speaker has an amazing collection of Xamarin monkeys cheering her in the background. And I'm happy to introduce you Svikitat Pasi with her talk, Developing Performant Xamarin Applications.
Hello, hello everyone. What an amazing day of sessions. I'm just gonna go ahead, share. Oop, let's minimize you, get out of the way. All right, just gonna confirm everybody can see my slides and we can get started. Okay, awesome. Hey everyone, last session of the day. So it's also the most complex topic I can say. So think of this session more as sort of like a recap of everything we learned today and sort of like a compendium of information on where and how and sort of how to build good performing Xamarin apps. So let's dive right into it. So here are my quick hot tips. This is focused only on if you're hitting issues with your like hot tips, issues sort of way before when you're starting your new app, how to make good decisions right at the start, right? So first off, please make good architecture choices. In the long run, that's what usually determines how your app performs. So, you know, pick a good MVVM, you know, library to use or build one of your own, but please use the pattern. If there's going to be databases involved, make sure you're picking a good repository pattern. And since it's right at the beginning, we have Xamarin Form Shell now. Shane had an awesome session about it. So if it fits in your, you know, use case requirement, go ahead and use it. It's a lot more, they've pushed in a lot of performance into it. So it's a good, you know, good option to use. Pick your dependencies wisely. So don't go too dependency heavy. You want to make your, you know, app light and smart, you know, and snappy. So, you know, pick those wisely. And of course, test often. That's of course like the easiest way to find, you know, performance issues in your app and then fix them often, of course. And suppose you are watching right now and you already have an app and you're hitting problems. Please go check out the Improve Xamarin Forms app doc that we have. It is extensive, it is long, it has a lot of stuff I'm going to be talking about today. It has a lot of stuff probably already mentioned in some of the sessions from today, so it's a good place to start. And it has my favorite video in the whole world, Jason's talk from Evolve 16, which is a legitimately awesome talk and absolutely relevant even today. All right, so let's talk performance optimizations, right? This is what I will suggest for a starter performance sort of checklist. Like if you're hitting issues or you're trying to resolve some startup performance problems, here's what I'd suggest taking a look at. Don't register services, of course. Don't do a lot of heavy processing right at the beginning in the startup of your app. Try and lazy load as much as possible. Again, also don't sort of do a bulk giant download of data on startup. If there's something that's needed only like maybe 5 navigation pages away, wait till you get to that page to sort of, you know, download those bits. Don't get everything that you would need at the startup of the app. And of course, be nice about the user experience. In case you do have a performance hit or your app is taking a while to load, please be nice to your users. Put in like a loading screen, put in like an animation, use Lottie. Steven said earlier in his session, if you can't make it, fake it. So fake as if, you know, that's whole part that, you know, the whole loading icon is part of your app experience. Now let's deep dive a little bit into specific cases in Android and iOS. So on Android, this was Maddie and David mentioned startup tracing. I'm going to do a shout out to it again. Please check out what Android Startup Tracing does. So it's a feature, it'll sort of profile your app, and we just announced custom profiles with Startup Tracing. So you can see this is right from John Douglas's blog post, which I had links to at the end, don't worry. You can see that turning on Startup Tracing and even possibly using Startup Tracing with a custom profile increases your app startup with like this app map startup performance a lot, and you don't have to add too much of overhead to your APK size either. So definitely check this out if you haven't already. For iOS, there's this little option that's hidden in iOS build that turns on your LLVM optimizing compiler. It's turned off by default in debug, so it usually you'd want to turn it on in release mode, but I will put a small caveat to this. After you turn it on, please, please thoroughly test your apps on a device and make sure that it's not breaking something else and your app continues to, like, you know, have good performance. Some other gotchas that I'd like to touch upon right now. Of course, the big bad boy in performance is async and await. So please, please use async and await, but please follow best practices. Don't have time to go through every single async await thing that you can do correctly in this session. So think of this as sort of like my top five issues that I think we see a lot and pretty commonly. But I mean, in the end, I'm going to link my teammate Dean did a bunch of amazing sessions on how to use async await. Brandon Minnick has a great talk and great resources. I'm going to link all of it. But if you aren't already using async await or you are using it, please make sure you're following these best practices. So, you know, sort of, we'll walk through a couple of these with some small code samples to understand what I'm talking about. But these are usually the top offenders that we see. So let's sort of look at a small code snippet to understand what I mean about all of these. So when to use consecutive versus concurrent operations, right? So if you look at this code sample over here, it's sort of processing each URL as it's coming inside a for loop. Executing this asynchronously consecutively sort of negates the whole, you know, benefit of using async and await, right? So instead, why not just use when all? And when all is, so you can pick between when any or when all. When all is suited for a situation like this, where the task must be completed before the processing can begin. So again, this is like okay code, but you can make it much, much better. Let's talk about efficiently processing an async operation, right? So if you look at this code sample over here, it is going to first when all and wait for all of the sort of results to come in, and then it's going to post-process those results. We could make this slightly more performant by maybe instead doing a when any, and as and when the results are coming in, it can start processing it and then adding it to your list. So again, you can go from okay code to better code and make your app a lot more performant. Another small example here, cancellation tokens. Who doesn't want to use them? Everybody wants to use them. So please make sure you're using them, but like I said, use them correctly. So what you see in this code snippet over here, we have a cancellation token, but when you set it up in task run in this syntax, it only checks if the token has been canceled at the start of the task, but you know, so this task may actually still continue to run. Checking this is actually a manual process. So instead you want to, you know, sort of put in a check like in this code snippet over here, or a solution alternate could be, you could just do if token dot is cancellation requested and then throw in a return over there. So you may be already using cancellation tokens, but make sure you're using them correctly. So like I said, there's a ton of content out there. So there's Clancy's Evolve talk again. It's in 2016, but still stands the test of time. Or David has a, you know, some blog post or specifically to Xamarin Forms. There's a bunch of resources over here. These slides are going to go out. I'll post them so you can feel free to go and read each and every one of these. They're amazing tools. And yeah, just make sure you're using it and you're using it correctly. Next up, memory management, because of course, how can you talk about performance and not about memory management? So our first offenders, event handlers. So I think Rodney mentioned it in his talk about how it's important to sort of, you know, dispose and use iDisposable. This is something you'd hear again and again, but trust me, it's very important to remember these rules. So what we have over here, you can see, is sort of to remember to unsubscribe from events. And you should remember to unsubscribe them before the subscriber object is disposed of, right? Until the event is unsubscribed from, delegate for the event in the publishing object has a reference to the delegate in the subscriber's event handler. So as long as the publishing object holds this reference, the garbage collector will not reclaim the subscriber from object memory. So you want to make sure you're handling event handlers correctly. Weird sentence there, but sure, yes. Another bad offender in memory leaks is holding a ref, like creating a strong, like, sort of like a strong reference that can be seen over here. So in this example, object A and object B have strong references to each other, and because of this, this creates what we call an immortal object. And I'm not talking about like Lord Voldemort or Sauron from Lord of the Rings. It's talking about just this immortal object, which is bad to the garbage collector, and because of which neither of these will be collected by our good friend the garbage collector. Instead, what you want to do is use a weak reference. So this is an example of a good weak reference instead of doing the strong cyclic reference above. So it basically, the way, if you follow this code over here, you can see that the weak reference is created using the instance of the object to be tracked. So object A maintains a strong reference to object B, but object B maintains a weak reference to object A. So again, if you're noticing patterns like this, or right now you're just like, oh my God, I might be doing this in my code, please go correct it. All right, next up. Loading data efficiently. So you want to make sure, our aim as mobile devs, of course, is to make the app perform well for users. So be a little more informative when you're loading types of, you know, different types of data. So for text, have placeholder text and display those first, so the user gets an experience of like, oh, okay, there's something happening, and not just like, you know, there's just nothing appearing on the screen. Placeholder images are great. Showing a loading icon is also great. And a good way to sort of optimize this overall experience also is to make sure you're not, like I said right at the beginning, downloading like 1 GB of data or something right at the start. Sort of break up your API to just, you know, download as much as you need as you're going along. Another good one to remember is don't overbind. So binding in MVVM is very, very tempting. You want to go and like bind every single thing. If you have two labels, say for example, one just describes something and the other one is what actually gets updated with some sort of data, don't bind the descriptive label. Let that be. You can bind the other one for sure. So small things like this will add up to making your apps like a lot more performant. And again, the best thing to catch all sorts of weird memory leaks is to use profilers. A quick tip on when you're using a profiler is look for things like memory leaks for big, large objects. You're seeing the garbage collector runs, but it's not actually cleaning anything up. And things you can measure, which are good sort of things to, like information to have, startup time, operation time. See the IO profile, of course, manage the memory consumption. So when using profilers, good tips to remember to make your, you know, sort of profiling experience a useful data collection. So profiler options that we have out there, in case no one knows, we have, of course, our Xamarin profiler, there's Xcode Instruments, and there's Android Studio profiler. And in case you're wondering, oh my God, how am I going to use this? Here are all your resources. My other amazing teammate, I work on a great team, don't I? Alexi did a great Xamarin Show episode with James on memory management. He walks through how to use the native profilers and shows you how to use the Xamarin profiler. So it's great. We have a ton of other resources to sort of walk you through how to use these. Next up. Quick tips on managing your resources. So by resources, I of course mean your icons, your assets. We already went through like this. I feel like this keeps coming back again and again, but trust me, it's a bad offender. People keep doing this, but make sure your assets are not just, especially in Android, you're not just dumping them in Drawable. Be smart about it. Go and use, there's like mFractor, there's a bunch of online resources, there's Red's resizer.nt. Go and resize your assets. It's going to make a huge difference. You don't want to bulk up and make these, because essentially the system will spend all this time resizing it from Drawable. If you provided different density images, it just saves its time from processing all of it and therefore giving you performance in your app. So small things, but adds up to make a much, much better app. Same thing for images, continuing with it. Avoid putting large files and loading it from your net standard projects. And if it's things like icons, tab bar images, try not sort of loading those resources from the web. Be smart about it, make smart decisions. Some of these images can be just embedded by default into the app. The others can, of course, be downloaded from using the internet. Consider using smart controls. So use GlideX, Sharpnado's Nuke is awesome. Implement caching for your images if you're feeling too lazy to implement it, like I do sometimes. I go and use FF image loading. It's a great NuGet. A lot of performance enhancements already built into it. So again, all of these different resources, there's a ton of great content. A bunch of stuff was mentioned today. Like even James in his session covered a lot of it. So go back, rewatch videos from today, come back and check out and click all of these links and, you know, check these out. Android Asset Studio is a great way to sort of resize your assets also, which again, important step, don't forget. All right, moving on to dependencies. So optimize how many dependencies. I kind of touched upon this right at the beginning, but sometimes, you know, it's not anyone's fault, but it can maybe a project got sort of inherited through five different developers, and by the time it comes to you, people have sort of added different dependencies, decided to use this NuGet versus that NuGet, and they forget to sort of delete references to those NuGets sometimes, or maybe you've just like sort of, you know, eventually realize, oh, wait, we don't need to like sort of use this dependency, we can just sort of roll our own. Could be many, many different decisions. You could just by mistake also just have like a ton of references that you aren't using all of them. So go through that and clean it up. Make it nice and clean. The lesser dependencies you use, like you don't need like 50 MB worth of just like dependencies, you know? So be smart about it, you know, cut down and just use as many as necessary. Another good tip, this is, James actually showed this to me on Friday, which is amazing. So try moving, start moving over to package reference, and in Visual Studio, in under NuGet Manager, you can actually set your default preference for new projects now, which is great and awesome. In case you already are using package.references and you haven't switched over, friends, use this awesome right-click migrator tool. It is awesome. It'll change your life. It changes my life so many times. Go ahead and do it. It's unbelievable. And, you know, just like, yeah, just great. Just throwing it out there. So again, good resources, understanding, you know, how dependencies can add or subtract to your performance. Again, great resources. I'm gonna be sharing all these links. Please, please go read them. Next up, app packaging. Okay, let's talk about our good friend Linker. So everybody sees that option, you know, when they go into, you know, Android options or iOS options. Try turning them on sometimes. They will totally help you. So at the very least, keep SDKs, like link SDK assemblies only in your release builds. You know, if, you know, it's least aggressive. It removes everything from the Xamarin SDK. So at the very least, we try and thin your app out as much as possible in that without losing anything and without breaking the app. If you can go a little bit more aggressive, link all or link all with SDKs and user assemblies it's exceptional. It'll actually shrink your app size down quite a bit, which again adds to performance hindrance. So bigger app sizes, the more laggy your app is going to be. So try with link all, I would again suggest turn it on, but test your app, you know, test it aggressively on devices, use test cloud, make sure, you know, it's not like, you know, linking away anything that's important. In case it does, you can go check our docs and it shows you how to, you know, keep those linkers safe. And with the new awesome Android app bundles, go ahead, turn it on, check it out. It will, again, change your life, make your APKs much, much smaller, target-specific ABIs, life-changing. Again, will definitely help you out with your performance. Again, all the different resources, how to understand how to turn these things on, turn these things off. James is an awesome blog post on, you know, understanding Linker, different Linker settings, how to even enable Linker in your Xamarin library. So go ahead, check them out, friends. All right. Closing it out soon. So good UI layer, UI tips. We saw some great UIs. Let's make those performance. So don't be bad. Don't do ew. Don't nest stacks inside stacks inside stacks. These are expensive. This take a while to draw out. Do not do that. Don't use auto in your grids. And again, please, if there's a repeated style, put them in a data template. It'll just save you like A, a ton of time writing the code, and B, make your app a lot more performant. And on Android, if you aren't already, which would be very surprising to me, please use App Compact. It's your good friend. Again, with fonts, try using, instead of like, you know, putting all these like specific numbers and settings, try putting like the generic names for the font size, so large, small. And a cool one, which my teammate Ben wrote an awesome article, like an article and blog post on, is try using, checking out using fonts for assets. So something like in your tab bars, instead of, you know, adding separate assets for each image that shows up in a tab bar, see if a font can do the same work for you. We just did it for our Zamp Twitch app. Again, I'm going to throw links for all of this. You can check out how we used it. He also, in the blog post, explains how to use it to like sort of have a checked and unchecked state. So it's amazing. You know, fonts can do styles. So if you can use it instead of an asset, even better. Another good one to remember with views and UIs is if, especially with tab pages, make sure you're loading information only for your primary tab and not for the tabs that's hidden at the back, because sometimes you might update a view model and that sort of updates all of your tabs. You're just wasting processing. Those tabs are not even viewable. Like, no one's clicked on them yet. So, you know, sort of check out for things like that. So, again, more resources, a link to our Zamp Twitch app, a link to Ben's toggling tabs with triggers, blog post is awesome. So, yeah, this is me. I hope you all found this quick recap sort of everything today and stuff you can do useful.
Thank you very much, Squeaky. A very amazing presentation on such an important topic.
I know.
I personally absolutely love the amount of gifts on the slides. That's my preferred way of communicating to the world. So that was amazing. And we have some questions for you on Twitter. So the first one is from Ellie. Well, first, Ellie says, excellent presentation, wow. And I agree with him, wow. And he would like to hear from your best ways to measure different performance metrics in Xamarin while developing applications.
While developing, it's hard to sort of keep track of what your performance is doing. If you are talking about your own developer loop, Maddie's presentation, productivity tools, you know, just use all of them. But for your app itself, a good practice would be once you feel like you have an MVP version of your app ready, profile. That would be my tip.
Perfect. And another question for Nilesh. He's thanking for presenting, and he would like to know, is there any plan to support AOT in debug test cycle?
As far as I know, actually, I'm not 100% sure about this. I can check. Right now, I don't know if there's any efforts, but since you're on Twitter, I'll get back to you with more information on that, with a more solid response. Yeah.
Sounds great. And I think that's all our questions for today. So thank you again very much for your great talk.
Thank you.
And this was our last talk. So I want to thank everyone who joined us today. Thank all the speakers for their amazing job and all people who posted questions and comments on Twitter. That's all for me. And I will hand it back to James. Thank you, everyone. And goodbye.